Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 625. It's the 31st of October, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Lincoln Moore, Executive Director of Decal Oil, DKL ticker, covers their news about the completion of their debt refinancing on improved terms. Plus, I also have Mick Billing, Chairman and CEO of Thor Mining, talks about their quarterly report. Plus, Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talks about Victoria Oil and Gas, Amerisa Resources, and Jersey Oil and Gas. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. And there's some new entries in there, a couple of companies I've never heard of. Plus, I've also got the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. This is companies releasing news and people hitting the thumbs up button. And today's suggested one for your watch list is Prairie Mining, ticker PDZ. This is suggested by Kea 5000, and I'll reveal the reasons why Kea reckons you should add this to your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lincoln Moore, Executive Director of Decal Oil, DKL ticker. Good morning, Lincoln.
Hi, Justin. Good morning to you too.
Yeah, you too. You've had some good news here out on the debt refinancing front, which is improved terms. We'll go through that RNS in the news there in a bit. Before we get to that, as always, I'd like to remind people of what you're all about, Lincoln. So tell me, what is Decal all about, please?
Justin, we are a palm oil producer, profitable palm oil producer based in Cote d'Ivoire on the Ivory Coast. We operate one of West Africa's largest mills. It's a 60 ton per hour mill, which at full capacity can produce up to 70,000 tons of crude palm oil. We've been steadily increasing production over the last couple of years. We're probably at about 60-65% of capacity, so plenty of room for organic growth. And it's a nice base first project for us, which is now very profitable. And look, we'll have our third year in a row of significant profit growth.
Yeah, and the news out today, it's been welcomed by the markets. Your share price is up by 3.3% at the moment. And so take us through the news, please, Lincoln, if you could.
Justin, I think our plan over the last 12 months has been to improve the finance terms which were established when the mill was pre-operations, and of course the finance costs associated with that were particularly high. So as our projects moved into profitability, you know, we've been keen to refinance our senior debt obligations on improved terms, and we had the first half of it refinanced in April, moving interest down from 10.5% to 7% with one bank. And then we've been working on a slightly different arrangement for the second part of the refinance, which has been done under a credit rating from Bloomfield with a syndicate of regional West African banks. Actually, it's led by significant French banks, Société Générale, and also Ecobank, which is a well-known bank, plus a number of other groups have participated in the facility. Great result again, down from 10.5% down to 6.85%, so even better than the loan we did in April. The term of the loan is 7 years, so what that does is, of course, reduce our interest obligations and smooth out our capital repayment obligations, and the business is clearly as a result on a much better footing moving forward.
Okay, and does this come into effect straight away?
It's in effect straight away. Yeah, we've already made the transfer. I think it will be today to the old facility. So people can assume that the new facility is operational today with a number of banks now behind us. It was I think it was oversubscribed. I think we mentioned that as well. So we've got a nice strong group of very, very good banks behind us, and puts us in a great position looking forward.
And just before we came on here, we were chatting about there's been some activity in the papers over the weekend about palm oil producers. Take us through that, Lincoln.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, on AIM, there's not a lot of us left in the palm oil sector. The majority have been acquired by Southeast Asian giants over the last few years. I think we had Equatorial Palm Oil was taken over by Khalkay a few years ago. REA now has a significant Indonesian ownership interest. We, of course, New Britain, which was a big one everyone saw, was taken over by Sime Darby. And really, I guess in terms of the independent players, there's us, a small one, Anglo Eastern, and also MP Evans. So MP Evans has come under a takeover offer from a Southeast Asian player, Cal K, a well-known Southeast Asian player. Looks like, you know, obviously we've got a couple of things going on at the moment. The palm oil prices has picked up a bit, so that tends to make people look around for deals. And, of course, the depreciation of the pound against other currencies, including the Malaysian ringgit, probably makes the London-based companies appear relatively cheaper to those groups. So, hence, there seems to have been a bid there. And so it looks like it's been rejected outright by MP Evans at this stage. But like all these scenarios, I imagine there's more water to go under the bridge.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when you get sort of coming sniffing around at this, it makes this sector quite hot, doesn't it? Because, I mean, you obviously can't say this, but have you had people sniffing around you?
Look, I mean, what we've always said is that we believe that we're producing or putting together an asset piece which is going to move into profitability and free cash flow, which is what we're doing, and then look into expansion mode. And clearly, our asset is independent of a Southeast Asian player. There aren't many of them, as we're saying, on AIM, but also even in West Africa, there aren't many that aren't owned by those players. So, you know, it's something that can be interesting in the future. I mean, every takeover offer has been a significant premium. So it's the value of these, what's becoming quite rare assets, is pretty interesting. But we still think, you know, we've done the hard work. We've built the mill. We've got production growing. We've got good palm oil price coming through, solid profit growth, and moving into free cash flow and talking about expansion plans and dividends. What a, you know, great position we're now that refinance is done. It was such an important thing for us to do to clear the path for the next phase of both our corporate and operational development. And of course, in the future, you know, that could be the case. But for the moment, we focus on our own expansion plans.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, pretty much, the probability is high that, you know, listening to this right now as it goes out is probably one of those big players and looking through the results thinking, yeah, interesting. Because, you know, like you said, they are looking. They are on the look, aren't they? So they're obviously doing the research everywhere. So it's a very interesting area to be involved in at the moment. Marvellous, Lincoln. Well, as you know, we've got a big follow button next to your name on our site there on Vox Markets. So could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button and receive RNSs straight to the front screen of their phone, please?
I think, Justin, still a very good price point to come in. You know, I think from the start of the year, we've had our price target lift from around about 20p up to, I think it's up to 28p today, and we're still trading around the 11 to 12p range. And really, when you know people do the research and look at what that pricing is in terms of income, EBITDA multiples and profit multiples, we are very cheap compared to our peers. And we are in a situation where we've got growing profitability coming through and free cash flow. The refinance today was clearly very important because that does now free up our position. You know, we've come forward with a pretty consistent view that, one, we want to be a dividend producer, but we also want to be a reinvestor for growth, and we also want to make sure our debt obligations are sensible. And I think that situation is in very good shape. And I think for shrewd investors who look forward and are able to see where we're heading, I think it'd be an interesting opportunity to get involved.
Yeah, I just did just basically reading that. Yeah, so Cantors have got a buy rating there now from 24 pence up to 28 pence, so they've got a bit of confidence there. Marvellous. Lincoln, thanks very much for speaking to me, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Great.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mick Billing, Chairman and CEO of Thor Mining, ticker code THR. Mick, thanks for joining me.
G'day, Justin. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. And now it's in the evening there in Australia, and it's in the morning here, so I suppose... Is Halloween big over there, Mick?
Bigger than I would like it to be, but there are others that think it's just as it should be.
No, I know what you mean.
Going out, they'll have, They'll have a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, yeah, my kids are looking forward to it. But I know what you mean when you say bigger than I'd like it to be. I know exactly what you mean by that phrase. It's spot on. Okay, Mick, for anyone who's not quite aware of what Thor Mining does, could you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Yes, certainly, Justin. In the first instance, Thor is in the tungsten space. We have a project in the Northern Territory of Australia we call Molly Hill, which we believe is what I call it shovel ready or ready to for development, and that's a project that's a project we like and are pushing as hard as we can. We also have a tungsten project in Nevada in USA, which is we believe will be a much larger, more long term project than many tungsten projects around the globe, but is at least is a good 4 or 5 years away from being ready for development. There's more to add to the resource. There's environmental work and permitting to do, and a whole bunch of other feasibility stuff yet to do at Pilot Mountain. I guess we also have a little bit of an interest in gold. We've got a grassroots gold project in Western Australia, and we do have a receivable from the sale of a gold project coming up, and in the back end of February next year, we're due $1.5 million from the second payment against that project that we are looking forward to very much.
Okay, excellent stuff. So last week you had the quarterly report out from July to September. Can you sort of take us through some of the highlights of that, please, Mick?
Certainly, Justin. I think there are the main thing that happened out in the field in the last few months was the drilling of some targets close to the Molly Hill project. This was a geochem project, and many of your investors will be aware of soil sampling for indications of gold in the gold business. And in the tungsten business, it's the same sort of thing. Gold and tungsten are both quite non-reactive. They're very heavy. They're not mobile in the ground. And so if you get a little bit of a sniff, you are very happy with yourself. Now, in gold, if you get a sniff, for example, of 50 to 100 parts per billion, and 100 parts per billion is one-tenth of a gram, you're very pleased with yourself and you will go and do some work. In our case, tungsten is – there are different strengths or in the measurement process for tungsten, but background for tungsten is virtually nothing, and we got a number of sniffs well above nothing, and while they do not make a mine, they have certainly encouraged us to go back and do some more drilling early next year, in the first half, I think, of next year. So that was the first thing of note. The second item of note in the quarterly, Justin, I guess, is the forecast of the drilling program at Pilot Mountain in Nevada early next year. We're pretty keen to do this. The program has, we've just recently heard that the program has been permitted by the authorities in the US, and so we'll start that late January, early February of next year, we believe. For the benefit of those who don't know much about the Pilot Mountain story, we have a resource on one of the four known deposits, and this program is coming forward is twofold. One is to test the eastern extension of that resource, of the resource that we have, where the last drill hole we intersected had extraordinarily high grades of tungsten and quite high grade of copper. At around 180 metres depth, we had 0.9% of tungsten and about 1.8% of copper, and in quite good widths that if we can demonstrate some continuity of those, that will be a game changer for that particular deposit. The other deposit, one we call Garnet, has a whole bunch of drill holes in it from the early from the 1970s by Union Carbide, who held the tenements at the time, and unfortunately we can't do a resource estimate on the strength of that historical drilling, because we don't have any of the raw data, or we don't have the material, the core, or the drill cuttings. But our resources geologist has said that if we can match the records that do exist for those holes, because we do have the cross sections, the drill intersections, and the lithology, and all of that sort of stuff in pretty good shape. If we can match that on 6 to 8 holes of drilling in the next program, we can probably declare a resource estimate on that quite quickly thereafter. Now, we have an exploration target on garnet of between 2 and 3 million tonnes at somewhere between 0.3 and 0.4 of a percent tungsten. Garnet is very shallow. The mineralisation is flat lying. This could be a very easy open cut mining operation if this comes through. And let's face it, we're testing something that has been tested and well tested 40 odd years ago. So we're quite hopeful that we'll get a result out of that will allow us to come up with a resource estimate in the first quarter of next year.
Oh, okay. So, what do you think? There's a lot going on. Like I said, looking at you now, you are what, a market cap of just under 2 million, which is not a lot, and you've got a lot going on there. So, if I in my head there, timeline wise, and things you're focusing on, what will be the things you're focusing on in the next, few months or next quarter or so?
Certainly. The Pilot Mountain drilling, I guess, is not going to be in the December quarter, but it will be very early in the March quarter of next year, we hope. I think there's room for improvement in the tungsten price in that space, and I'd suggest that investors keep their eye on that. Mm-hmm. And I guess also early next year is the receivable of $1.5 million Aussie dollars from the sale of Spring Hill that we believe will fund our activities for a good part of next year, and without us having to call upon shareholders to put money in again.
Yeah. Okay, excellent stuff, Mick. Well, listen, at Vox Markets here, I mean, you've pretty much said 3 points there, but just to reiterate, Vox Markets here, we have a page with your name and your company on it. Next to it is a big follow button, and I do cover the top 5 most followed companies every day on the podcast there. So if you were to sort of encourage people to hit that follow button, what were the 3 reasons you'd give to make people hit that button there?
There's a drilling program coming in the US on something where the mineralization is quite well understood. Mm-hmm. There's money coming in early next year that's contractually due from the sale of a gold project, and in the tungsten business, there's a general belief by the experts in this that the tungsten price is going to go up quite soon.
Marvellous, Mick. Listen, have a nice Halloween. I hope too many kids don't go darkening your door with their trick-or-treating. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Justin, nice to talk. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector commentator, authority, blogger, writer, broadcaster, Malky. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Justin. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's nice to see it. Do you know, I do quite like a sort of sharp but sunny, October morn,
Yeah, very nice indeed.
Yeah, what are we chatting about this morning, Marky?
I'm going to talk about Victoria Oil and Gas and Amerisur, and then I'm just going to put a little one in the at the very end, Jersey Oil and Gas, one for the notebook.
Okay, cool. So let's start off with Victoria Oil and Gas. Yeah, VOG, yeah. Is it?
Yeah. VOG. Okay. Yeah, VOG. VOG is a Cameroon-based gas company, and it goes sort of cradle to grave because it explores for gas. It has developed a significant pipeline operation across Cameroon from Logbaba, where it's discovered the gas, to the capital Douala, and it has made significant inroads into making a huge customer base in and around Douala. Historically, this is for power, so they find the gas and they deliver it and they make power. So, you know, in only recent days, Cameroon and Douala were using all sorts of odd things to generate electricity and power, even down to using diesel and dirty old stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So got themselves a fantastic market. It's a seasonal thing because they do have hydroelectric power in Cameroon, so two quarters of the year are quieter and two quarters are very busy. But the market is huge. The gas price is significant. And they're using their expertise to find the gas themselves. So I rate Victoria Oil and Gas as one of the most undervalued stocks in terms of pure latent value for the longer term, which the market hasn't quite got hold of yet. The company have changed its advisors, got two new brokers on board. I had a meeting last week with the chairman, Kevin Fu. And I think the underlying value of this business is significant, and I think that that as they increase the pipeline, they get more clients and have more chances. They've also got two new wells, one of which, the first one, should have spudded a few weeks ago, but the rig got hit by lightning, and that is going to spud any time now.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, looking at the share price, you can draw a ruler under where it is now at 30 pence. It seems to have bounced off this a couple of times. So, you know, we are at a significant level on the chart anyway, you know?
Yeah, I like this one a lot, Justin.
Yeah, okay. All right, what's the next one you mentioned?
Amerisur, A-M-E-R. Yeah. It's in the bucket list. It's a high-quality business. It's been dogged for the last, few months, probably the best part of 18 months, because they have this OBA pipeline between all their wells and their production, which is in Colombia. And about 3 weeks ago, I went down there, and the pipeline is now open. They announced on Thursday that the pipeline was open, and this is a really significant move, and although we all knew it was going to happen, we've been waiting for it to go ahead. Now the point is that this is a material change in economics for the whole company, because they now no longer have to truck their oil from Colombia way across country. They're saving $12 a barrel on their operating costs, which in anybody's book means that the revenues are about to start going up. They're a good quality company. They've got the now that they'll be putting all their crude. It started with 1,500 barrels a day. They'll be up to 500,000 barrels a day by the end of the year, and I'm expecting 7,500 barrels a day soon. But the good news is that the capacity for the pipeline is huge, and therefore they can take other people's crude and buy it off them and ship it through the pipeline, saving the other guys money and making more money for Amerisur. I think they'll start off with doing their partners sometime next year once they get the pipeline in good nick. And once they've done their partners, I think they will then do other people in Colombia who could also do that. So not only will you be making money of your own through the pipeline by saving on unit costs, you'll be making money for other people and taking their crude and making money through that. So that's the bottom line there. They've got because they had a financing earlier in the year, they're well financed. They've got we've got two more wells to drill this year. They've got a bunch of wells to drill next year. They are carefully making sure that all their new developments are in southern Colombia, what they're calling near the OBA hub or the area around the pipeline, where so they're transporting it straight into the pipeline. This is a very well-managed company. As I say, cash, no debt. We've been to visit them in the last month. The local management is good quality, in depth, all the way down to the people that they have on board, geologists and so on. So, Amerisur has just broken through. I would consider that there is significant upside in the valuation of this business from here.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, it should transform their sort of, income balance sheets in the next couple of months, or next year, I suppose. All right, because that's AMER, that is. What's the last one you were mentioning, Malky?
I was just going to say, I'm not going to talk about this at length at the moment, but yeah. This is one for the notebook, for the guys. It's a tiddlypop company called Jersey Oil and Gas, and Jersey was a shell, and it bought Trap Oil. And what it has found is that in the portfolio there is possibly a right little gem with a block with a that's just been farmed into by Statoil. Now Statoil think this is one of their biggest prospects for next year, and yet small Jersey is in possession of the well. So they've got this thing called Verbier. The block also contains at least two other plays. They'll be drilling next year. It's only one to watch at the moment because the Statoil are just doing their looking over it at the moment. But you know, one of these things that, you know, with a big high profile well being drilled probably August of next year, is one we'll be talking about in the spring after Christmas, Justin.
Yeah, well, there was a bit of interest about this company a while back when they were, few months back. But I mentioned it coming up on Twitter quite a lot. People say, watch out for this. But whenever you get, you know, a small company like, well, this 7 million market cap, it gets linked to a major. It's always interesting, isn't it? So it's always worth keeping an eye on that, you know?
You know, even if, I mean, assuming that the work they're doing at the moment, which they started last week, will take about 3 or 4 weeks, I guess. Assuming that goes ahead, then they will be drilling it next year. And whatever happens, you know, the market will talk about this stock all through the spring. And I'm absolutely sure that if they get the go-ahead after this process they're doing at the moment, then it'll be one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, excellent. So worth giving us a jog. Marvellous. I'm going to keep an eye on that now because, I said, whenever you mention an oil major, it's always worth, you know, just looking at it. Marky, thank you very much, fella, and I'll speak next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, Justin. Bye now.
Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are number five, Prairie Mining, which is also today's suggested one for your watch list, so you can find out why people are liking that. At four, Amu Minerals, AMC. At three, never heard of this company, Innovaderma, that's IDP ticker. At two, it's Talou Energy, TLOU. And at number one, I think it was number one last week as well, on Friday, it's Oxford Pharma Science, OXP. All right, here are the top five most liked RNSs. There's a couple of people have drawn here. I've had equal likes. So here we go. There's five companies, but there's a couple of joints. So here we go. At three, or I said five should be, Savannah Resources, broad high-grade copper intersected in Oman. That's SAV. At three, same amount of likes, Premier African Minerals, acquisition of controlling interest in TCT. At three, same amount of likes. I've had Lincoln on earlier. Decal Oil, completion of debt refinancing on improved terms. At joint two, it's 88 Energy and quarterly activities report and appendix 5B. Ooh, got to read through that one. Also joined with 88 Energy is Tech Capital, TEK. Strategic alliance with, I don't know how to say this, Bajanova. Sapi, it's a good little deal they've done with Mexico, opening up tech there to Mexico, by the looks of it. At number one, it's Advanced Oncotherapy, AVO, the industrialization agreement with Thales. So that's the most liked RNS on the website this morning. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Prairie Mining. I've seen a bit of noise about these over the weekend, suggested by KF5000. What does the company do? Coking coal developer in Central Europe. Two projects, both world-class and large-scale. Mine-ready Debiensko project and a massive Jan Karski mine, formerly Lublin coal project, to be developed. So they've got two sort of mines there. That's Debiensko and Jan Karski, which is formerly Lublin coal project. Now, how many shares does the company have in issue? 151 million. What's the current price and market cap? It's looking at today is 23 pence, market cap 33.5 million. What revenue and profit loss did the company generate? Revenue for the year ended 30th of June 2016 was $310,000 Aussie dollars. Net loss for the year was $6.7 million Aussie dollars. Their production is commencing in 2017. So how much cash does the company have? As of 30th of September 2016, they had cash on hand of 16.8 million Aussie dollars, and it's in a strong financial position to progress with its planned development activities. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, they've just announced the transformational acquisition of Debbie Enscombe Mine, marking Prairie's entry into the hard coking coal sector, complementing Prairie's advanced Jankowski Mine, formerly Lublin, and creating a multi-project coal development company based in Poland to supply European industry. Strategic location in the steelmaking heartland of Europe, where approximately 80% of current coking coal usage is imported. So Debiensko comes with a 50-year mining concession, established on-site facilities including rail, road and power infrastructure, comprehensive historical drilling data and all environmental consents. Plus, the average operating cost or cash cost at Lublin, which is now called Jankowski, is only $25 per tonne, which positions the project as the lowest or one of the lowest cost suppliers of coal into Prairie's key regional European target markets. Reason two, coking coal prices have risen by 200% in the last 4 months. And reason three, off radar for UK investors, no debt. It is the largest disparity of market cap to resource size I've ever seen. So check that out. That's Prairie Mining, PDZ. Huge resources there, well positioned in Europe by the looks of it. So do your own research, please, and thank you very much for submitting that, Kaya. And by all means, if you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click one of my blog links there. At the bottom, you'll see a link and a question saying, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Please click here to fill in the form, and I could be featuring it on a feature of podcast. So it could be on tomorrow's podcast. You never know. So please do that. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.